Our scripture lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. "Moses, Moses," he said, "here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on the ground which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My dad always said that Terman is a German name, meaning doorman. And I've always thought that was pretty cool. You know, really Jesus-y, perfect name for a pastor. I mean, not quite as awesome as foot washer, but doorman. Humble servant, doorman. I like it. I was building a rock walkway years ago with some steps. I was learning how to do it, watching YouTube videos. And one afternoon while I was working on it, the Terminix man comes. And it was his first time coming to the house. He gets out of his truck, "Mr. Terman." And I'm like, "Yeah," and we have our introductions. And he said he teaches ancestry at UNC Asheville. And I'm like, "That is so cool." I said, "You know, my dad always said that Terman is a German name and that it means doorman." And he looked thoughtful for a moment, and then he said, "Actually, Terman comes from Thurman, which is Scandinavian, and comes from the descendants of Thor." I told this to my dad quite excitedly, and he looked at me kind of sideways. You know, made that noise that skeptical people sometimes make. Told me about what some cousins had found out about our German ancestors, our English ancestors. Later, I'm working on the rock walkway, and I reach for my hammer, and I remember what he said. Thor. It's important for us to know who we are. It's important for me to know who I am. We're, this season of Lent, doing a study. It's entitled, "The God We Can Know, the I Am Sayings of Jesus." And I know that many of you have signed up to be in some of our classes. It's not too late if you want to plug into it. And those of you who are in the class are gonna have an opportunity to do this icebreaker. It's the first class. We've got to get to know each other. And each group member is to write a statement to describe themselves with words or phrases that answer the question, who am I? Complete the sentence, I am fill in the blank. So what if you think about that for just a second? Ask yourself, who am I? And just, not necessarily out loud, but you can if you want to. I am dad. I am granny. I am cousin. I am pickleball player. I am fisherman. I am runner. I am professor. I am happy. I am optimistic. I am sad. I am afraid. I am angry. I am. Who am I? I'm an architect. I'm an engineer. I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor. Moses has a very interesting name story. You know, he was named by Pharaoh's daughter, Moshe. She named him Moshe. That's the Hebrew word that we translate in English, Moses. She called him that because she drew him out of the water. The Hebrew word masha means I drew him out. She drew him out of the water because Moses' real mom put him in the water. When Moses was born, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was afraid at just this enormous growth of the Hebrew people. And just kind of like, you know, if they decide to rise up against us and have a rebellion, well, we might not have a chance. And so he ordered all babies to be thrown into the Nile River. Really awful. Well, Moses' mom and dad hid him for 3 months. And when they could hide him no longer, ironically enough, they put him in a basket. They put him in the Nile River, but just among the reeds near the bank. And that's where Pharaoh's daughter found him. And that's what she means when she says, I drew him up out of the water. That was at 3 months. And Moses' sister is watching and hiding. And she goes up to the Pharaoh's daughter, which I think is kind of a brave thing to do. And says, hey, do you need someone to, like, nurse this child? And Pharaoh's daughter's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And so Moses' older sister says, well, I know the perfect person. So she takes the baby to her mom. And so the story says that when the child grew up, don't know how old the baby was, but when the child grew up, took him to Pharaoh's daughter. I wonder what Moses' first name was. They had him for 3 months. They had to give him a name. I wonder, what if Moses answered our icebreaker question? What would he say? Who am I? I am Hebrew. I'm also Prince of Egypt. I'm adopted. I'm in exile. I'm wanted for murder. I'm a shepherd. In our story, Moses encounters God, and God says, hey, let's go save the Hebrew people together. Moses says, who am I? And we know that this is his way of saying, I am inadequate. I am a disappointment. It's important for me to know who I am. We're going to be spending these weeks of Lent trying to wrap our brains around this reality that God can be known. God, who creates big things like galaxies and moons and whales and elephants, God of vast mountain ranges and deep oceans, this God actually wants to be known. God says through the prophet Isaiah, I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long, God says, to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. Isn't that crazy? God says, I was ready to be sought out. I was ready to be found. I was ready to be had. And nobody was seeking. A relationship with God. It's a fascinating thing. God makes the first move. At the start of any relationship, someone has to make the first move, right? You can tell your first move stories. There was this freshman girl in my Spanish class. One day after class, I chased after her in the rain, and I said, hey, Chan, you want to go walk to the grocery store with me? She said, sure. So we walked to the grocery store in the rain, and I bought her some bubble gum. I guess that was our first date. God always makes the first move. Even if we think we're making the first move, we're not. In Wesleyan theology, we call it prevenient grace or awakening grace. It's the kind of thing St. Augustine meant when he said, Lord, you have put salt on our tongues so that we will be thirsty for you. Prevenient grace. It's an important part of our theology as United Methodists. Prevenient grace is God's love coming to us before we even know that God exists. This grace is the divine love that surrounds all people. That's what our Book of Discipline says. It surrounds all of us, and it precedes any and all of our conscious impulses. This grace is a grace that prompts our first desire to please God, our first glimmer of understanding of God's will. This grace is all about our first conviction of having sinned against God. God's grace awakens in us a longing for deliverance, and it moves us toward repentance and faith. We're awakened to God's presence. We start realizing that God is real. You can probably, like me, talk about those moments. I don't know, we talk about the light bulb going off. You know, for me, it's that point when I knew, without question, that everything my parents had taught me, everything my church had taught me, what I learned in confirmation class, it was true. God is real, certainly mysterious, still trying to figure things out, but there's something going on. We wake up to our brokenness. I know that I'm not right, and I know that I can't do this myself. We begin to realize, and maybe this is most important, that we are deeply loved by God. God loves. So, God's first move in our story is the bush on fire. And Moses, it's interesting, isn't it? Moses doesn't run away. He doesn't try to put the fire out. He turned aside, stopped what he was doing. You know that phrase, don't just do something, stand there. I think that's how it goes. God makes the next move. When God saw that Moses had turned aside, that he was just standing there, paying attention, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And that changes everything. God knows my name. Moses says, here I am. But he says, or asks, who are you? God's name is not easy to translate. If you've ever studied this passage, you know. The New Revised Standard Version, our Bibles oftentimes will have the footnotes at the bottom. The footnotes at the bottom are, I am who I am, I am what I am, or I will be what I will be. Well, of course it's hard to translate the God who was and who is and who is to come. But God wants to be known. And what Moses discovers, and consequently what we discover, is that God hears the cry of miserable people. God sees them. God says, I know their suffering. I've come to save them. Pretty early on in the confirmation class, we're asking questions all year long. And one of the questions we ask in the beginning is, who is God? And we think about the attributes of God, and we have a worksheet listing the attributes of God. One of the passages of Scripture that we turn to is John's first letter. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God loves. Someone ask your group of kids. I love it when people ask groups of kids questions and then write them down for us. Somebody ask a group of kids, what does love mean? Rebecca, 8 years old, says, when my grandma got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandpa does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Elaine, age 5, says, love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. That really is true love, especially if the chicken is fried. Noel, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Love is when mommy sees daddy all smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. Chris, age 7. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. Mary Ann, age 4. And then it gets kind of deep. If you want to learn to love better, says Nika, age 6, you should start with a friend you hate. And then Billy, 6-year-old Billy. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. So, when the great I Am calls your name and says something like, don't just stand there, do something, we know that it's safe to go. Amen.